This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So, dear viewers, welcome again to the 31st episode of The Ella Show. Together with us today is Ustada Jamaluddin from Sydney, Australia. And we are going to be talking about memorizing the Quran. Actually, a lot of it's a goal for every Muslim, practicing or not practicing, to want to like have the Quran off hand. Some people can put the efforts and some cannot, but everybody wants to do this. But because we are late, I'm just diving into the topic straight away. And a couple of people, they ask, okay, yeah, we want to, like, yes, it's cool to memorize the Quran, but why? Like, why should we memorize the Quran?
Yeah. So, look, I mean, most of us know the ahadith that talk about the rewards in the akhirah, right? But, you know, I just want to start off by saying, first of all, too, Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So, like I said, most of us know many of the ahadith about, you know, memorizing for the akhirah, you know, the reward for the akhirah, right? But, like, it's important for us to, first of all, have, you know, you've really got to know why you want to memorize the Quran. I mean, like, you've got to, you know, if you know your, for example, if you know that, first of all, Allah Ta'ala is going to test you, right? You know that this life is a test, and that you know that there's only one chance in this life, right? You've only got one chance in this life. So if you think about that, most of us, we want to do well on tests we do in dunya, right? So if you think about the akhirah, how, you know, and you think about how well do you want to do the test in the akhirah, that's one of the main things that made me really want to memorize Quran, because I just felt like I really want to do my best for akhirah, right? But if you think about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamah, right? So, you know, the best of you are the ones who, you know, you learn the Quran and you teach it. So, when you're thinking about, okay, I want to do my best in this world and I want to do my best in Akhirah, how do I do my best? Let's look what Allah said about how to do your best. And let's look at how the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to do our best. So that's one way you can do your best, which is to, you know, to memorize the Quran, learn the Quran, and then try to teach others the Quran, okay? Also, we know that, for example, very, very motivation, you know, a hadith that's very, you know, really motivates you is the one that, you know, how it mentions about, it will be said to the sahib al-Quran, like the companion of the Quran, you know, to recite and, you know, to keep on reciting, and that your place in Jannah, your man, you know, manzila, you know, like your place in Jannah will be at the, you know, akhir ayah, like the last ayah that you have memorized. So that hadith in particular is a very big motivator to want to memorize the Quran, right? But to be honest, it's not just about the rewards in akhirah that I like to highlight to people about why to memorize Quran. Like, there's so many benefits in dunya before akhirah for people who memorize Quran, right? And that to me, it has even a stronger motivation in my, like, for me, that was a stronger motivator in a lot of ways, right? For example, we know that the Quran, like, we know that the salah is one of the main things that connects us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But like, to be with the Quran, right, to have a close relationship with the Quran, like, obviously if you're memorizing the Quran, you're going to have a very strong and close relationship with the Quran, right? So, you know, like, it, like, the Quran is constantly building you. Like, as you're memorizing, the Quran is constantly building you and, you know, strengthening you. And you're constantly in that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to you memorizing the Quran, right? And, you know, also, like, if you think about this day and age, right, we are surrounded by so much. Maybe, you know, I don't know how it is for you in Nigeria, but, like, living in the West, you know, you're surrounded by fitan, you're surrounded by, you know, all kinds of negativity against your Islam, right? So in order to keep yourself strong, you really need to fight back. You need to be really proactive at fighting back. And what's one of the best ways to fight back against it is to, you know, to fortify your heart with Quran. You know, like Allah Ta'ala, He says, "Inna hada al-Qur'an yahdi lillati hiya aqwam." You know, that this Quran, you know, yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. Like it guides to whatever is all that is upright. So the Quran, when you memorize the Quran, like it's different than just reading the Quran. Like memorizing the Quran, as anyone here would know who's memorized Quran, when you have those ayat in your heart and you recite them, it's different than when you just recite from Mus'haf. Like you feel like it's actually coming out of your heart when you recite, right? So you can sort of feel how the Quran is, you know, guiding your heart towards the truth, to protecting it from, you know, from falsehood. And especially in, like, when you're living in these times, you need to be able to see the difference between the right and the wrong, the haq and the batil, right? So having the Quran in your heart is something that protects from that, you know? And also, if you think about, there's a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, "Inna alladhi laysa fi jawfihi shay'un min al-Quran kalbaytil kharib," right? The one who doesn't have any Quran in his heart is like a ruined house. So we know that the deserted house, it's very easy for any, like the shaitan can easily come in the deserted house. So what about the person who has no Quran in their heart, you know? So, you know, if you want to protect yourself, your children, you know, from shaitan, from misguidance, then one of the best ways is to fortify your heart with memorizing Quran, fortify their hearts with memorizing the Quran, right? No. So I can go on and on. I don't know how long you want to go on for, but there's so many things, so many benefits of memorizing the Quran, you know? And as I said, in dunya, even before akhirah, you get all these benefits as long as you stay, you know, steadfast on this path, you know. It's not easy. It's not an easy path. It's a long path for most people, especially if you don't have an Arabic background. It's going to be a longer path than someone who's got Arabic. But you're going to be continuing to get these benefits because, like, it's not just about the end of the journey. It's about what you get through being on that journey. You know, you're benefiting all the way. You're never a loser in memorizing the Quran. You're always only a winner. You know, because, you know, you're the one, alhamdulillah, your time is barakah. Your time is blessed because, you know, instead of wasting it on other things, you're engaged in memorizing Quran. Right, and the other thing too, like I find personally with me, like when I'm with being with Quran, inshallah, as much as I possibly can, you know, I find that it's just constantly awakens your heart. You know, like these days, you know, in this day and age, we're always pulled back by dunya. But you know, when you're constantly reciting Quran, revising Quran, it's waking up your heart, reminding yourself of akhirah. So, you know, you're constantly feeling like your iman is recharging. You know, you're thinking about akhirah constantly. So it's like your mobile phone. You have to keep plugging your mobile phone in to get charged. So this is what you're doing each time you come back to Quran to revise and to memorize. So, you know, there's so many benefits we get from memorizing the Quran. And we've got to realize that the problem is a lot of people, unfortunately, like, you know what it's like, I know, in a lot of countries where they're just, you know, little kids sitting there, like sort of just parroting the Quran, you know. A lot of people, they don't understand that it's not, you know, it's not just about reciting and memorizing, it's about internalizing. That's the important part. It's not just, you know, that's why it is important to learn the meanings. I'm not saying you have to have deep understanding of the meanings, but you do need to understand the basic meanings of the ayat that you're memorizing, or else it won't really have the true impact on the heart. But if you do, if you are able to internalize the meanings, then you find that the Quran actually, like I said, it's you're going to find it like your greatest motivator. Because you're always turned back to thinking about akhirah. So then if you're turned back to akhirah all the time, then you constantly want to keep striving for akhirah too. You know what I mean? Like you might get down, but you go back to Quran, it pushes you back forward again and you start, you know, you want to constantly try to improve yourself, push yourself more for akhirah. So this is what I can say about, there's so many benefits in memorizing the Quran. it's a lot of people just, as I said, they just think about the ahadith for akhirah, but it's about what does Quran do for you in this dunya before akhirah? What does it do for you? What does it do for your children when you memorize the Quran? As long as it's done sincerely, though, I should mention that it has to be with ikhlas, or you wouldn't get that. You wouldn't get that the benefits unless it's done with ikhlas.
Nah, true. And you know, a lot of people. One thing I'm going to add here is, even some people who want to seek knowledge, like people who want to take the path of knowledge, but because they find the memorization of the Quran to be hard, they just say, okay, we'll just memorize a couple of ayats, and yeah, we'll go learn Sahih Bukhari, learn Bulughul Maram. During, I was in a class the other time, and our teacher, he was telling us, he said, during the time of the Salaf, or the earlier periods, he was talking about the period of Ibn Taymiyyah, basically. And during that time, he said, when the students of knowledge, they go to the pool, and they go to the alim, and they say they want to be his student, the alim, he usually asks, have you memorized the Quran? And then when you say no, then they tell you, go memorize the Quran and come back. So I'm trying to bring the point that memorization of the Quran basically is the foundation. You don't like begin to study Bulughul Maram and you've not memorized the main foundation of the deen, which is the Quran. That is the first one. And secondly, during Salah, it's one thing which automatically increases you in khushu.
No.
When you memorize the Quran. Because if you've memorized a little, like Qadila, and you were praying, for example, Fajr, Qul A'udhu Rabbi An-Nas, Zuhur, Qul Wala Ahad, and that's just your circle, it becomes like you're just singing something. But when you memorize a lot of the Quran, and you can like pray during your salah and ponder upon different ayats of the Quran, it automatically increases your khushu. And especially for like men praying behind the imam, it's even a more boost of khushu when the imam recites and you just listen and ponder upon those ayats. It's like a feeling which you don't get anywhere. Me and some of my brothers, when the masjids just reopened, that was the only thing we were waiting for, because we basically just wanted to be like behind the imam, listening to the imam recite. This is another thing which people benefit from the Quran, and we get to understand that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He said in the Quran that when in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find rest. Yeah,
no.
And there's only like, how do you remember Allah through like knowing what He said and doing dhikr and stuff. Yeah, but when you've not memorized a lot of Quran, you have to like pick up the mushaf and go through the mushaf to read. And basically, most times when you don't know Arabic, you have to like go through translations, and it becomes tiring because a lot of times you have other things to do. But when you memorize the Quran, you're driving, you can ponder. You're walking on the street, you can ponder upon some ayat. And like you said, there are a whole lot of benefits which someone can get. So, Ustada, how you memorize the Quran? Like, I think over 10 years ago, I'll assume. And how long did it take you to memorize the Quran?
So, look, it took me at least 20 years to memorize the Quran. And I think I like people sometimes to really hear my story, because often we only hear the stories of people who've got an Arabic background and it took them like 9 months, and we get really amazed and think, wow, mashallah, like 9 months. But then that often makes a lot of other people feel hopeless, because they think, why can't I memorize the Quran in 9 months, you know? So I've come from a completely non-Arabic speaking background, you know? Like, I didn't even know a word of Arabic until, I didn't even hear a word of Arabic until I was like, I think 16 was the first time I actually heard the Arabic language. And so when I first started memorizing the Quran, I actually couldn't even read or write Arabic at all. But what I did is I basically got the transliteration. You probably have seen the transliteration where, you know, it's got like the It's got the Arabic sort of written in English. And yeah, so I started off, like when I first reverted, so I reverted, and then when I reverted, really not long after I reverted, because I had to start memorizing some surahs for the prayer. Okay, so I remember, for example, to memorize Surah Al-Kafirun, it took me 3 weeks. I remember that's how long it took me to memorize just Surah Al-Kafirun, right? Because it's very hard in the beginning, very hard. Like, it's not your language. You never tried to, you know, memorize. And as I said, I was writing out. I used to write out the Arabic in English, like English Arabic, sorry. Like, I'd copy out the transliteration and then I'd write the English meaning underneath. Okay, that's how I'd memorize. So I had a book and I just used to, like, copy out all the transliteration in my book and then write the English meaning underneath, and then I just like memorize it. So that's how I started out, and I kept on going with it. Like, I think I started making little goals for myself. So I started off with obviously Juzamma. Most people start off with Juzamma. It was all the short surahs first, so I memorized all the really short surahs first, and then, you know, it's kind of like you keep increasing your goals. So after I finished memorizing all the short surahs, I kind of like move to like doing the last half of Juzamma. I must say too, though, I did end up, alhamdulillah, marrying my husband. He's Egyptian, so he was able to at least also oversee some of my pronunciation, because obviously, you know, your pronunciation is not going to be very perfect, especially in the beginning. So yeah, so I kept on going like that basically until I finished like Juzamma. And then once I finished one Juz, I, you know, and this is before I could read or write Arabic again. This is before I could even read the Arabic script. Okay, this is all just learning from English Arabic. Okay, I started, I think, memorizing Juz Tabarak and Juz Qad Sami', and then I started doing some Tajweed lessons, like learning with sisters, you know, Tajweed lessons. So what happened was, because I had already memorized these ajazat of the Quran, I was able to, like, when I'd go to my lesson, I was able to actually quite easily read the Arabic. In the meantime, I have to say, I did start learning, obviously, the Arabic alphabet. You know, I started to learn the Arabic alphabet and, you know, linking letters and stuff. But then after that, I went to Tajweed lessons, like I said, and because I had already memorized these particular, you know, surah of the Quran, then when I go to my Tajweed lesson, she'd say, like, for example, read, you know, like, read to Majadala, for example, you know, and then it would be much easier for me to read because I had already memorized it. So that's how I started out memorizing in Australia, when I was in Australia. And I kept on going. That was just like something that I would do. I had my son, my first son, and, you know, I'd always had that, because I was just that person who just likes to have some time to study every single day. Like, so I would study a bit of Arabic every single day, like do vocabulary, and I would, you know, have a bit of time for memorizing Quran. It just was something I would do. Like, he'd have his nap and I would, you know, have that bit of time to, because I was at university before I got married, you know, so I was the type where I loved to study. I've always been the type to, I love studying. So obviously when I became Muslim, I love to study about Islam, and, you know, Quran is part of that. And I should also mention too, before I go on, that what motivated me actually to memorize the Quran, I should mention that too. See, when I first had reverted, I went to the masjid, and it was at night of the 27th. So it was like Laylatul Qadr. And there was a young girl in the front of the masjid, like she was about 14 or 15 years old of age. And they had her reciting from, you know, they had her reciting the Quran. And when I asked about her, they told me, yeah, mashallah, tabarakallah, like, you know, her family has memorized the Quran, you know, she's memorized the Quran. So when I heard that, I was like, I was really amazed, you know, I was thinking, and that kind of became my goal. You know, when I heard about that her and her family had memorized the Quran, I sort of said to myself, you know, I want to be like that too. You know, so that's the kind of, I think, what got me on the path of wanting to do that in the first place. Again, because of what I told you before, my main thing has always been, like, when you've accepted Islam and you realize this is the truth, right, and you want to do your best in this dunya, okay, this is a test, and you want to do your best in this dunya, and you know that you get one chance, you can't come back once you once you die, that's it. You can't come back and do it again. So it's like you do try to do your best the first time because that's the only time you're going to have, right? So that was the main motivator. But so then after that, I ended up going to Saudi. And when I was at Saudi, you know, alhamdulillah, I got the opportunity to study at Darul Huda, which is a really top Quran school. And that was when I realized how to really, you know, that's when I really learned how to really, what's really involved with memorizing the Quran, because we had a really tough program, especially for someone from my background, you know. So when I first started, I mean, the first surah that we started with was actually Surat Ali Imran. And I was still doing the same thing I was doing before. Like I was still actually writing out the ayat in English Arabic, like that transliteration, when I first started at the Quran school. And all the people in my class were all Saudis. Like they're all Saudis or Yemenis, or like they're all Arabic background. No one spoke English in my classroom. So that's how I started out. And so I started out like that. And then what happened was, because every day, so we're supposed to memorize 1.5 pages of Quran every single day, and we're supposed to read 7 pages of tilawa. Now, obviously, my tilawa was not very good because I wasn't like, we started off with Surah Baqarah, right? We had to read, the idea was to start from the beginning of the Quran and sort of work from the front to the back. So my tilawa, obviously, because I was still not that strong with even tilawa. So I had to read over the pages maybe 7 or 10 times to get them fluent, you know, for the next day. Because we do tasmiya the next day, and she'll listen to us, you know, to see how our recitation of those pages are. So I had to do like maybe read each page maybe 7-10 times to make it fluent. And I'd read a page until it was fluent, then I'd go to the next page. Read that till it's fluent, then go to the next page. That's how I build up my reading. What basically happened was, because I did so much reading, the quantity of reading was so huge that I ended up being able to slowly, alhamdulillah, transfer from the English Arabic I was writing over to the Arabic script. That took about, I'd say, it probably was about, I'd say about maybe 4 or 5 months after I'd been studying, I was able to do that, like, and I started memorizing from Arabic script. But it took a while, you know, to be able to transfer. But that's basically what we're doing. It was like 1.5 pages of Quran 4 days a week. And then we had the other 3 days to do murajaah. And just reading. That's how I got started. And that's how I kind of got an idea of what's required to memorize the Quran, how much the quantity, if you really want to get somewhere, it has to be a fair bit. But then of course you stop, like you don't just keep going, like you memorize for a while and then you stop, and then you have to do murajaah of everything that you've memorized. So you know the Quran school did help me to understand a technique to how to memorize. That's very important to understand that, because if you haven't really had anyone to show you, you might struggle.
Sure. A couple of people there, when you talked about the Quran school giving you techniques, it just came to my mind. A lot of people, they want to memorize the Quran, but they don't go to a teacher, basically. They're, okay, alhamdulillah, because, like, for we, when we were, like, way younger, like, when we were born, basically, like, indeed, like, 3 years old and stuff, we began to go to Islamic school, and then we learned how to recite Quran, we learned basic tajweed, and basic stuff, basic seerah, basics of everything. So, labor, we are not going to memorize until you could recite from Baqarah to Nas perfectly with the tajweed and everything, you start memorizing. Yeah, so it wasn't a school for hijab. Yeah. And then when we were grown, like 12, 13, and yeah, now it's time to memorize. But then a lot of people began to go to like boarding schools, and so everybody left the madrasa. Only people who were still in day schools, and they used to go to the madrasa. So when we left for boarding school, and when we come back, it's like a very short holiday. So basically we stopped going to the madrasa. And a lot of my friends, they said, okay, now we want to memorize the Quran, but yeah, we know how to recycle stuff. So no, they don't. They don't like go to the. They don't go to an alim, a teacher, to recite to and teach listens to them. And I think this is like a very, very non-effective method to like just try to memorize yourself, recite it, cover it, and so you bringing up the benefits which the school gave to you just brought this to my mind. And the thing is, after that, we started actually without a teacher. And then when you recite a couple, when you're tired, maybe today, I haven't memorized, then I'll tell my friends, okay, actually I'm going out with my mom, so we won't be able to meet and recite. And then everybody, so you basically make excuses the day you don't memorize, and there's like no zeal, no push, no motivation to really like memorize. But when you have that teacher, you know that you can't just, you just have to memorize it that day, basically. You can't just move around. Although I'll say then we were young, so, but even for like young adults, it happens a lot, because being a young adult at 20, 21, you have like a whole lot of things to do, a whole lot of like things taken away your mind. So trying to memorize alone, I think like it's achievable, but it's first of all a very slow process and a very non-effective process. So, Ustad, you said 20 years it took you to memorize the Quran. Why did you feel like at some point it's taken long, and then maybe you had to like, then you broke off from memorizing the Quran and then went back to memorizing the Quran, but all through you were like on it for the whole 20 years?
So what happened to me is that I memorized, I'd say like the last five and the first. I memorized the last five and the first five from the Quran, the first five ajza. And I think I memorized Surah Al-Kahf and probably Surah Maryam. I tried to link them all together. But I mean, I had kids. I started having children. I told you I had that first son. So with my first son, he had started to memorize the Quran when I was memorizing the Quran in the Quran school. He started memorizing, and he was about 2.5 when he started memorizing Juzamma.
He was about how old?
And because he had Arabic language, he was 2.5 when he started memorizing the Quran.
Now,
he used to go to the Hadana. Like when I used to be in the Quran class, he used to go to Hadana. So in the Hadana, like, they could hear the other kids outside. They had like a little preschool outside the Hadana. And actually, Rolda. Like the Rolda was where they had the little kids under three. And then they had the Hadana, like where they had the older kids, like who were like four or five. And they were memorizing the Quran outside. So what happened was the teacher noticed that he was starting to copy off the kids outside. Like he was starting to say the ayat because he was listening to them outside. So he told me, like, she told me that, you know what, I think that he can manage if he goes and sits with the other older children. So he started going with them, and like I said, he started to memorize the Quran when we were in Saudi. So we left Saudi like about halfway through, like when he finished about half of Juzamma with the Quran school. So when I came back, I started, you know, focusing on him too. So that's another thing that happened to me. So I had my first son, then 3 years later I had twins. So what happened was, because I wanted my kids to be able to memorize the Quran, because I didn't want them to go through what I went through as an adult. Like I realized how hard it is to memorize as an adult. And I really wanted my kids to memorize the Quran. And I told you before about that family I had seen, you know, that family when I first reverted. And also when I went to Saudi, I met a lot of families, and I met some amazing families who, like, all the kids had memorized the Quran, you know, and they were just like really inspirational to me. So I was like, I really wanted that for my family too. So that's why I started focusing a lot more on my children. So I was still revising my own Quran, but I wasn't as highly focused on mine, because you can't do everything. You know, if you're going to start helping your kids to memorize, that's going to take a lot of your time up, a lot of your energy. So you're going to have like less time for yourself. So that's basically what happened. But I never gave up my revision. I was always doing my revision on what I had memorized. When I came back to Australia, I always would pair up with a sister who, like, I'd find someone, like, I found in the Arabic community, you could find sisters, mashallah, who, you know, they've got a fairly advanced level of memorization. You can always find someone from amongst them who's done, like, maybe 10 ajazat or at least, or something like that, that you can partner with, and they're dedicated, and that you can, you know, sort of meet up once a week and sort of keep on memorizing with them, or at least revise. So that's the technique I was using when I came back to Australia. But yeah, besides that, I was just working with my kids for a long time, trying to get them to memorize. Like, alhamdulillah, my first son, he finished when he was 14. We didn't have Quran schools here, right? There was no Quran schools here for kids to memorize. But even if you do, like, I'll be honest, when you send your kids to Quran schools, in general, they waste a lot of time in the Quran school. Like, I did try it a couple of times. I did put my kids in to see if anything would, you know, if they could get anywhere. But, like, they sit in line waiting for a long time. Kids muck around. You know, I found that if I just spend, like, 1 hour with them, I could get so much done in that 1 hour compared to if I sent them all week to a Quran school. You know what I mean? So that's why I decided that the best way is for me to teach them myself. I thought that was really the best way. You know, you've got more, obviously a parent has far more kind of, you know, basically ikhlas towards wanting their kids to memorize the Quran than anybody else. So that's why I went that way with it. And like I said, we didn't really have the facilities back then. We didn't have, like, really the facilities for them to have gone somewhere to memorize. I mean, we've got a bit more now. We've got, like, if you're about 11 or 12, you know, you can put your kids in, like, there are some schools you can put your kids in and they can memorize when about 11 or 12. But I have found, looking at people I know, the kids who have done the best with Quran, like, as far as, like, being really strong in their hifz, are the ones who their parents actually taught them. That's what I have found. Maybe that's in this country. I'm sure overseas, if you've got a sheikh, like an individual sheikh who taught you, that could be very good too. But just the ones who go to generally the Quran schools and that, I find that people would spend a lot of money, you know, putting their kids in those Quran schools, and a lot of time extra onto all the homework the kids have already got, and they didn't really get very far with it. You know, so that's why I felt with the parent, it works a lot better. That's part of the reason why. Plus, I did a lot of other things in between too. Like, I went to uni, I studied Arabic. I used to do classes, you know, teaching classes as well. So there's all things going on. I ended up having 5 children. I mean, there's been so much going on in between. So, like, that's why it took me 20 years. But, you know, it took me 20 years, and now I'm still in the process of perfecting my memorization. So people don't understand that when you finish memorizing the Quran, it's not like you're going to be perfect the day you finish. You now have to go back, and, like, you're going to have some ajazat which are strong, and some of them are, like, weak, and you have to, like, really revise over them and make them stronger. So, you know, I'm still going through that. I'm still trying to, like, get to the perfection level, you know, with my memorization. And, like, obviously, I can't help sometimes compare. Like, I look at my kids, and because it's so much easier for them, they've got the Arabic language. It's such a huge difference. Like, don't even, anyone out there who doesn't have Arabic as a background, please never ever compare yourself to someone with Arabic language. It's a completely different ball game. Like, it is so much easier for someone with Arabic, you know, with an Arabic background, to memorize the Quran than it is for someone coming from a non-Arabic speaking background. So just don't compare yourself to them. You know, because you feel depressed because you think, why can't I do what they're doing, you know? So don't even get there, because I can see with my own children, like, how easy it has been. Like, I'm not saying it's easy. It has been hard for them, but nowhere near, like, they don't have to revise the level I have to. You know what I mean? To get to, it's just different. Even if you've been listening to it since you're young, I'm sure that if you've grown up in an environment listening to Quran since you're young, it must be a lot different than someone who never heard any Quran until they're, like, you know, until they're, like, older. So, alhamdulillah. Yeah.
It's very true. So, Ustaz, that we're going to, like, dive into some tips, because I think a lot of people are already asking for that. Some tips on how to memorize the Quran, like, some practical steps which people will take. So let's take it from, okay, you gave us, like, you being a non-Arabic speaker and, yep. and all that, you weren't Muslim at first, and so you weren't like, you didn't get that Quran background anywhere. So for someone who, yeah, I know how to recite the Quran. Let's say I know how to recite the Quran good if I look at the Mushaf, even though it's not like perfect. So how do I go now on to memorize the Quran? What are the steps the person needs to take?
Sorry, say that last bit again.
Like someone who basically knows how to recite the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say without tajweed, or just he just knows like the basics of how to recite the Quran. So where yeah. should he, so what steps should he take from here?
So look, as you said, it is you've got to, especially when you're first starting out, you've got to have something that's going to motivate you to reach a deadline every single week. Okay, so like I would not advise anyone in that level to be doing it on their own. So start off with a teacher or a Quran buddy, one or the other, but it has to be somebody you know is a very dedicated person. You go look for that person who's really serious. What would be preferable is someone who's memorized more Quran than you, like they're more advanced. Maybe they want to revise some of their Quran while you are memorizing. That's one thing, but you've got to have goals. So like when you're starting out, you always think, I really would advise anybody, I think most people would, Juzamma, start with Juzamma, okay? Because that's the most recited, like they're the most recited surah, like they're most practical. You know, you're gonna be reciting them over and over again in all your prayers. So that's a big motivator. You know, just say to yourself, look, at least if I can just memorize Juzamma, because I'm gonna be using them in all my prayers over and over again. And then when you've got Juzamma, you go to Juz Tabarak, you know? Then you go Juz Qad Samat. So you work from the back of the Quran. And like I said, I did the last five. And then I felt like, you know, well, I was at the Quran school. Like at the Quran school, I did Surah Baqarah, I did Ali Imran, I did Surah Nisa. So, I mean, a lot of people would like to maybe go to Surah Baqarah. But don't do it until you feel like you've got a fair bit of the other ajazat done, because you know Surah Baqarah is very long, so it's sort of more motivating to say, oh mashallah, I've memorized five ajazat, is more motivating than, you know, you're trying to memorize Surah Baqarah, it's very long,
sure.
Or you know so that helps as well. I think just start off with that, you know, that's the most important thing, just having goals. And like, look, eventually I was able to memorize on my own after I had, like, because I've just developed such a life habit with my memorization, you know, after having, you know, being in a Quran school, after having been with, you know, having other sisters that I would memorize. So I got so used to it in my life that I was able to then just really, you know, want to work towards my goals, you know, on my own. And so I basically would work off a kind of a routine where, like, we have four semesters in a year, or four sets of holidays, right? So I would I'd memorize, like, I'd try to say to myself, okay, I'm going to memorize, like, say, a juz every semester, you know, during the school semester, try to memorize a juz, and then during the holiday be revising. I did something like that. You've got to make up your own goal, whatever you think would be suitable for you.
No.
But that's the best way I can suggest.
No. Making those, and like you said, people should, when making your goals, you should make your goals realistic.
No.
Because not looking at the Arabic speakers, or when you go through the biographies of people, okay, you're going, okay, Mishari Al-Afasi, he memorized the Quran when he was 10 years old. He learned all the Tashra'at by the time he was 13. And, okay, when I started to learn the Qira'at of Khalaf and Hamza. And so that was like 2 years ago. And then I was like, wait, when he was 14, he knew like the 10 Qira'at. Aki, you're 18, man. So I was like, Khalaf and Hamza, when do I learn Warsh and Nafi? When do I learn Kalun? When do I learn? Then another thing I'm going to highlight here about this whole thing is, and the funny thing is, then I haven't. I was just like, let's say, about 20 hills. That's like 10 Jews. Yeah? And because most times you just want to like fast forward things and just want to be like those people who you see. It's like you don't take it step by step. So when I was talking to a friend, he was like, okay. Yeah, since you're almost done with learning the rules of Khalaf and Hamza, just finish it up and don't learn any more Qira'at. You already
know
the background. Yeah? So we already knew how. You were not even supposed to start Khalaf. But since you started Khalaf, finish Khalaf, and don't think about Qalun, don't think about Khaldak. And okay, yeah, I was like, good. I'm not going to think about this.
Yeah.
But because he was and he was like 19, so just a year older, I just felt, nah, this brother is just telling me this. I still went on to learn Fatiha and all the 10 Qira'ats.
Oh, subhanAllah. Yeah.
And all the 10 Qira'ats. And then I started, I want to start learning surahs. So when I started learning surahs and the different Qira'ats, and I was one of the imams in the school, because I just tried to like pick up books of Qira'at rules and read them. When I lead the prayer, for example, and I'm going to give a practical example here. When you recite him with Khalaf and Hamza, you say, Maliki Yawmiddin, yeah, not Maliki Yawmiddin. And then when you reach Sirat al-Ladina Anamta Alayhim, it's Sirat al-Ladina Anamta Alayhim. But because I tried to like learn 10 Qira'ats, like just wanting to know all 10 in time, and I'll read the prayer sometimes, Maliki Yawmiddin, then now automatically I've gone to like maybe Hafs or Qira'at which has Maliki. But because I even forgot I said Maliki, when I reach I say Zirat al-Ladina Anamta Alayhum. So so someone who like had more knowledge after the prayer, he was like, brother, it seems you've not have you finished so Qira'at? So he said, just finish the Khalaf now. Don't even use Khalaf again once you finish it. Just stick to Hafs. And that's what I've been doing. A lot of us, we try to like just want to be like the people who we see the shuyukh, thinking it's like the same situation and stuff like that. Wait, by the way, it's not. So making the goals really practical. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to memorize the Quran one page a day. Okay, it's going to take me 2 years. Yes. After this, I want to learn this Qira'at and this Qira'at. Oh, I want to perfect Tajweed. I want to take it step by step, understanding that it's a lifelong process and it's not going to like, it's not like, okay, once I'm done in 5 years, I'm done with everything that has to do with the recitation of the Quran, I can switch it. It's something which goes on time by time by time.
Yeah, you really need to prioritize. Like for me, memorizing the Quran is a greater priority than learning all different qira'ats. You know, like I've only learned Hafs on Asim, you know, and I really think that it's best for someone just to learn to read the Quran correctly in one qira'ah, you know, memorize the Quran. Yeah. When you're very strong in your memorization of the Quran, then move to learning different qira'ats. You know, like I know with my son, alhamdulillah, because he's very strong in his hifz, he can handle another qira'ah. You know, he's got a couple of qira'ats, you know, but like you need to be very strong in your hifz before you go into different qira'ats, because like even when he revises some of his different, like he's doing shu'bah, for example, like if your hifz is not strong enough, it's confusing. You know, you start getting confused, and it's hard enough just to memorize the Quran correctly and strongly to start off with, let alone you start to go in qira'at. So I don't think that that's probably the best way to go.
Yeah, true. And it's not really that like very important for to learn like different qira'at.
I just really wanted the Quran in my heart, you know what I mean? I really wanted to like really memorize the whole Quran and die with the Quran in my heart. You know, that's might be my goal. So it's like, because I made that as my life goal, it's like I can't leave this journey, you know what I mean? So I'm just keep going with this journey, even if I don't never get to be perfect. Like my goal is to be perfect, but even if I never get there, Allah knows my intention, you know, in the mal amalu bi niyat. Like Allah knows my intention, that's what my intention was, and Allah knows, Allah sees, you know, the effort you've done. He sees your heart, how much you really wanted to, like, achieve that goal. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he'll never, you know, cause your efforts to be lost, inshallah. Like, you know what I mean? So I think you just put practical goals for yourself.
Now, well, a couple of people, again, one thing which demotivates people is the age. When, okay, here in Nigeria, where we have like a lot of Muslims, you see some people who they just know quls, the three quls and Fatiha, and they grew up in these Muslim societies, but still they weren't able to memorize. And then now they're like 40 years old, and they say, yeah, I want to do the right thing. And then they try to recite the Quran properly. But then they see, like, subhanAllah, I'm 45, when am I going to memorize this Quran? And they just say, okay, yeah, I don't think I'll just make my kids memorize. But for me, I don't think I can memorize the Quran. So they feel like they're too old to memorize the Quran, and they just let it slide. So what can you say about such a situation?
So look, what I would say to people, you don't have to memorize the whole Quran. Like, why, like, don't start off with just Juz-Zamma, start off with Surah Al-Kahf, start off with, you know, surahs that you're going to be reciting all the time. Like Surah Al-Kahf, you need it for Friday, you know. Juz-Zamma, you need it for your prayers. Like Juz Tabarak as well is a beautiful juz, because it's got lots of the ayat are very short, you know. Try to do Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. Like, if you can't memorize the whole Quran, just make your goal Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, you know, because of the virtues of these, you know, those surahs in particular, you know. So at least just do that. Make that your goal. It doesn't have to be the whole Quran. Like, it is very daunting to think about having to memorize the whole Quran, you know. Like, for me, basically, because the more you memorize the Quran, the more your goal looks a little bit easier to achieve. You know what I mean? The more you start chipping off, you know, various edges at, it starts to come together, and you think, oh, I've only got 10 more to go. I've only got 5 more to go. You know, so it becomes more reasonable. It becomes a more realistic goal, right? But like I said, it's not that everybody has to memorize the whole Quran. Yani, if they can't do that, let them at least do Al-Baqarah. Let their goal be Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, Surah Al-Kahf, you know, Juz-Zamma, Juz Tabarak. You know, just have a few ajazat that you've memorized well, inshallah.
Yeah. And I feel like for people older like that, definitely most people, they'll be working at that age, and they'll have other things to do. I think relating yourself with people who have those same goals. And I don't know about Australia, but here in Nigeria, it's like easy to access people. Basically, when you go to the masjid, you see all the people who have like memorized the Quran, a lot of them who are in different like shuyukhs. You're just random people who have memorized the Quran, and you see them. So you're able to access this kind of people. I feel making people who are on that path, and also who have already completed the Quran, making them your friends is one thing which will really, really motivate you. Because I think the demotivating thing is most times when they go to the schools and they see, okay, I'm the only one who's 50 here, basically. And every other person is 16, 17, 13. And so they just feel, and when they come to the school again, for example, due to the fact that they had work to do and they had families and stuff, maybe he wasn't able to recite the whole page completely. But these kids just come in and they're done with the page, and it becomes something like they feel, maybe this is not for me, and they leave. I feel, okay, having those group of friends who would push you, who would give you that motivation, and understanding that it's not just about the end. The process,
yeah,
the
that's right.
process is like, it's joyful. The process of memorizing the Quran, having like, okay, finish a page. And actually for me, there's one thing I do when I'm memorizing. I was memorizing Anfal, I think, when I was at Anfal to Baqarah, that was like last year. So when I was memorizing Anfal, when I reached the last page of the last ayah of the first page, I was like, "Hittal hatta yubtil al-ba'dil walaw tariha al-bulyu." And I was like, yes! I began to jump, because it was so joyful to have like just and it was just a page. Okay, so joyful to finish the page. And so the process is even joyful than finishing it.
Yeah.
When you finish it, okay, yeah, alhamdulillah, you finish it. But looking at the process is something which keeps you motivated. And what you understand from the sunnahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when you start something, when you intend to do something, and even if you don't do it, you get a reward. So it's just like when you intend to go to Hajj, yeah, and then you die on the road, you get the reward of the person who made it. So understand, when you intend to recite the Quran, if something happened, then maybe you die or something, you get the reward of the one who finished because you're on the path.
No.
All these are things which should motivate older people towards memorizing the Quran. How many minutes do we have? About 7 minutes more. So I think let me check if we had questions from the audience. Sadly, did you have to like work aside schooling and other things?
Yeah, so I've my whole life I've been either studying at uni or I've also been teaching. I give lessons to sisters here in Sydney. So I had to balance my life, you know, around, you know, memorizing the Quran, around seeking knowledge, around teaching. So, you know, you have to have a very good routine. It's very important to have a good routine, you know. You learn that. I think that after having children, you learn how to be very organized. For me, normally my morning time is best for Quran, but if I have lessons in the morning, then I'm going to have to do it, like, when I come back in the afternoon. But generally speaking, to be really serious with memorizing the Quran or revising Quran, you need to be able to put away... You really need about like an hour to 2 hours a day, being realistic. You know, if you really want to revise properly. I mean, to just revise a juz, it's going to take at least about an hour, right? And unless you're able to, you know, read really, really fast. Like once you get it very strong, you can probably revise maybe three edges in an hour. But before you get it very strong, it's going to take you at least an hour or 2 hours, you know, to revise. So you've got to try to, you know, slot that in around your timetable. And there's going to be days where you're not going to have time. You're just going to miss it. Sometimes it does happen, unfortunately, but that's what can you do? Life happens. But the most important thing is just start again the next day. You know, you've got to keep going. Like I sometimes, for example, I have exams. Sometimes I'll go through a few days or maybe a week where I haven't been able to do my revision, right? But like once my exams are over, I go back to the Quran again. And I'll have times where I spend more time with Quran than other things. Like during school holidays, for example, that's when I tend to spend a lot more time revising than, you know, during school week, you know, when I have my classes on and stuff like that. So that's just the way you have to do it. You have to just learn to be flexible with your routine. But the most important thing is, you know, that's my goal. I've stuck, like, it's like a life goal. I've made my mind up that's what I'm working towards. So it's a constant thing it's always a part of my life that I can't leave. That's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I'm sure. Someone was asking about some tips. Okay, I'm going to just add one. I think Ustad gave a couple of tips already. I'm just going to add something for someone who has like basic Arabic background, maybe just knows the basic words. And even if you don't know the basic words, try learning the basic words in Quran. We have courses today which teaches you Quranic Arabic, yeah? And it just gives you a wrap of, like touches, brushes upon the Arabic of the Quran. For me, when memorizing, one thing which helps me not to forget is the meanings, yeah? It makes me not to forget. Because sometimes you have these ayats which sound similar due to the rhyming scheme of the Quran, and you can easily confuse them. And I'm going to take an example with, for example, words like, okay, sabirin, zalimin, mu'mineen. Sometimes if you just recite it, maybe it's been long since you read that page, and you pick up the Quran and you want to recite it again, you can easily interchange those words. Let's take an example for وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَجُوعِ وَنَكْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. So the end of the ayah, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Yeah? So if due to the rhyming scheme, you can, okay, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ. But then you remember, okay, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ, that's not possible, yeah? So
yeah, of course.
That's not with the doers. So immediately you know that, no, it's not Zalimeen.
Yeah.
It can be, okay, definitely going to be like Sabirin. So all these kind of things, knowing the meanings of the Quran, and a couple of pages, there are pages which before I joined the Hifz school, there are pages of Quran which I haven't memorized, but maybe just watching, like, maybe on Instagram, like a short clip of someone reciting it with the meanings, it catches my attention. And after watching the clip, maybe I watch the clip over 4 to 5 times, because of the meanings of that, it just sticks to my head and it doesn't go out again. No matter, even though I don't revise it for a long time, it doesn't go out because the meanings have like stuck to your head. So I find out that even people who have like a shallow Arabic background, like they know some Arabic, but they're not like implement using Arabic during memorizing the Quran, like trying to know the meanings by memorizing the Quran,
oh,
tend
yeah.
to like be difficult and maybe
Absolutely,
forget.
Yeah. Well, like I said to you, when I started out memorizing the Quran, I was writing that English, you know, the transliteration, and then I was writing the English underneath. So what happened was, you know, if you write the English, well, because I was writing English under the words, you know, the you know, the Arabic transliteration, you know, such understand as samawat, you know, what I'll, you know, I started building up vocabulary like that. So that's that. The actually memorizing with the meaning helped me to build up my vocabulary. That was the way I did it. But I also have to admit, I did go and learn Arabic too as a language. That makes a big difference. You know, that does help a lot. You know, and now when I read the Quran, like alhamdulillah, like I understand it now, like very well. You know, because I've been with Arabic for so many years that I probably understand like the Quran more than a lot of Arabic speakers. Alhamdulillah, especially Arabic speakers in Australia, not Arabic speakers overseas, but Arabic speakers in Australia, definitely I would think that I do probably understand the Quran more than they do, you know what I'm trying to say, because I've learnt Fusha, and the people in Australia in general, like if they're brought up here or anything, they don't have that kind of background, you know.
So alhamdulillah, it's like we've got 30 seconds to wrap up. Alhamdulillah, I've come to the end of the show. Jazakallahu khairan, Ustadha. It's been very beneficial to have you, and we look forward to having you again, inshallah, to talk about some other things regarding Islam and Sharia and women and general things about Islam, inshallah ta'ala.
Yeah, Jazakallahu khairan, brother. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Fumayin Allah, inshallah.